Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Come on, give it up for Jesus this morning. Is that the best you've got for the King of Kings? And somebody open your mouth, let out a shout of praise. He is worthy of our praises. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Before you're seated, turn to two or three people and say, "You're beautiful. I see Jesus in you. Thanks for being here this morning." Make sure everybody hears it. Then you may be seated. It is both a surprise for you and me that I am here today. A few weeks ago, Dr. Morocco called me and said, "Where are you on June the 1st? And I told him where I was scheduled, and he said, "No, you can't be there. You have to be in Wasilla, Alaska." And I said, "But Dr. Morocco, I have to fly out Sunday afternoon and be in Helsinki, Finland on Monday." And he said, "Change all the plans." How many understand there's some people you don't argue with? And then Pastor Daniel called, and you can't say no to Pastor Daniel or Pastor Kieran at all. It was what an extraordinary opportunity to be with you. Although, pray for me, I will catch a flight at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, and we'll be in Helsinki on Tuesday for the World Conference on Pentecost, and then speaking at the International Church next Sunday. But today I get to be in the most beautiful church in all the world. I remember standing on this property where there was nothing but a barn, an ugly barn, a horrible barn. And now I get to be with you today. What a privilege it is. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject of being a dangerous believer. We live in dangerous times. Now, tonight, I want to invite you to be here because I'm going to speak on don't ghost the Holy Ghost. Now, I know some of you, the word ghost, you do not understand, but younger people do. How do I explain this to you? If you don't get a return phone call, if you don't know it, that means the answer is no and you've been ghosted. And tonight I'm going to deal with don't ghost the Holy Ghost. For those of you who go, "Brother Michael," which would be most of you, "we have no idea who you are." I'm a missionary evangelist. I've flown about 8 million miles all over the planet, preached in 60 different countries, and had the privilege of watching God move 69 revivals going 3 weeks or longer. What you'll see behind me was last year in El Salvador. The National Pastors Conference, where about an hour later, the Holy Ghost, can you bring up the next slide? The power of God hit the place, and I could not bring the crowd under control for about an hour, dancing, shouting, running. How many believe in an outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit? Some of you who do know us and are partners in prayer, we are associated with the former Soviet Union. We've been to the former nations of the former Soviet Union 140 times. I've spent 7 months of my life on planes between Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Moscow. When we started, we had 61 churches. Today, we have over 6,000 churches. That's just in the nation of Russia. That doesn't include Ukraine or the other nations. I want to show you because of what is the challenge by the bishops. They came to me one day and said, "We see a problem, and this problem is consistent all over the world. Whenever we send young men and young women away to secular universities, less than 10% of them ever go back to church. Not your church, any church." And out of it, they saw in Russia this extraordinary youth movement that literally was under challenge. They asked me if I would become involved and begin a national young adult conference. That young adult conference now is in 13 locations. Matter of fact, right now we're in the middle of expanding them into Germany and to Spain also. But what God has done is we started out with a few hundred. But I want to show you what was recently in St. Petersburg. Can you bring up the next slide? That's in St. Petersburg, the next slide. Around 3,000 attending. Now, you've got to understand, I get up every time, and instead of telling everyone God's calling them to be a doctor or a lawyer, I tell them God calls every one of them to plant a church. Sounds like Kings. And I want to show you a one-minute reel. I'm curious, how many of you know what a reel is? Less than half of you. Okay. It's a one-minute thing that's shown on social media to show you something that's happening. I want you to see this because you have to understand, this is among young adults. And many people say to me, how in the world can there be 6,000 churches? Because the greatest challenge is not the harvest. You must understand that. Very clearly, Jesus said there's no problem with the harvest. The problem is with the laborers. But one of the things that have helped us with 6,000 pastors is we challenge young men and young women to hear the call of God's purpose upon their lives. And that's the miracle of 6,000 pastors. But I want you to see this. This is from the conference. It's less than 1 minute, but it'll help you understand what God is doing. Please. That's it. That's a reel. Would you give the Lord a clap offering for what he's doing? I want to thank Pastor Daniel and Karen today, their graciousness, their friendship now for decades, and for the privilege of being with you. As we deal with the subject this morning, dangerous believers. A dangerous believer is someone who knows how to bless God with depth, consistency, and revelation, inviting God's presence, pushing back darkness, aligning their spirit with divine purpose. They are dangerous to the enemy because their praise is not passive. I got three amens out of that. They are dangerous to the enemy because their praise is not passive. Their praise is a weapon. Their praise is a witness. Their praise is a way of life. Somebody say amen. Amen. When dealing with a dangerous believer, you understand the words of John when he says, these things are written that you might believe. Your believing unlocks your love. How many of you understand what you believe determines the way you love? What you believe determines the level of your faith. What you believe unlocks the hope that you have for what is coming in the kingdom of God. It is more than that, as Paul so clearly wrote, I know whom I have believed. Now, you know, the word know is very unusual because it's first found in the book of Genesis, and Adam knew Eve. It's talking about the intimacy of marriage that gives birth to a child. You see the same word in a different language in the New Testament when the Bible tells us, Mary says, how can this be, seeing I never knew a man? When Paul writes, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that, he's saying, I have entered into a covenant relationship that is of a level of intimacy that is even greater than marriage. I know whom I have believed. I've surrendered to him, and he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. But that knowledge comes from being real. I wrote this statement down one day. If you are real with God, then he will be right with you. Then you will be right with him, and he will be real with you. See, a lot of people want God to be real with them, to be right with them, but they're never willing to surrender to him, to understand that God is, God is blessed. God is the originator, the primal, the inexhaustible blesser. He must be above all others. How many know God lives in a blessed state? How many know that God is not having a bad day? God doesn't look down and go, I don't care who's in the White House. Those Republicans and Democrats are both messed up. Nobody's helping me. I understand God lives in an atmosphere of blessing. God is blessed. Would you open your Bibles with me today to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Ephesians 1, would you rise with me for the reading of God's word? Ephesians 1, verse 3. Paul is writing the extraordinary letter of the book of Ephesians. And he makes this statement. Please notice these words. Blessed be. Everyone say blessed be. What he is saying is this isn't a negotiation. Whether you bless God or not, he's blessed. Matter of fact, it's very similar to Genesis where it says light be. In the English translation, it says let there be light. It's almost like God asking permission. That's not in the original. In the original, it says light be. God stepped out in the middle of nothing and nowhere, the eternal blesser, and said, light be. I want you to get this down inside of you. Whether you bless God or not, he is blessed. Everyone say, blessed be. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being here today. I am overwhelmed at the greatness of God. Lord, I stand today on what I consider to be one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful property that I've ever seen for a church on planet Earth. And Lord, I thank you for Pastor. I bless him and Daniel and Pastor today, Karen. But I overwhelmingly say unto them, by the power of God's grace, we bless you. We lift you up. Lord, thank you for their leadership in this congregation. Lord, we thank you that you brought them to this city to release the anointing of God upon this church, this community, this state. Lord, that this place is raised up to bless the name. Somebody help me bless the name of the Lord today. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody change the atmosphere and pray. Praise him today. Lord, we exalt the name of somebody. Lift your hands and praise him. Is there a praise in this house today? Is there a shout unto the name of Jesus today? Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated, everyone. Today, I want us to look at being a dangerous believer. Blessing God welcomes the presence of God. Blessing God opens us to the presence of God. It is the very spark of life. A dangerous believer blesses God, not only in joy, but also in crisis. Blessing God shifts the atmosphere and welcomes God's presence, even in the hardest places. It's one thing to bless God when it's sunny. It's another thing to bless God when it's cold. It's one thing to bless God when the boss says you're a wonderful person. It's another thing to bless God when the boss says your days are done here. It's one thing to bless God when you're healthy. It's another thing to bless God when the doctor says you have cancer in your body. Get your act together. You don't have many days left. And to lift your hands and say, I bless him who gave me life. I came into this world to bless you. My purpose is to bless you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you have the ability with your mouth to not be passive but aggressive with your praise? The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Do you realize the power of blessing changes the atmosphere around you? That when we begin to bless God, everything begins to change. The demonic powers of darkness want to bring within us that which pushes down. But the moment you open your mouth, the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart begin to shock the atmosphere. How many know this is the hour we've got to change the atmosphere? Not from the White House, but from God's house and our house. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. For God not only wants us to lift up, he wants us opened up by the power of God. Blessing God drives away heavy spirits. Anybody besides me ever have a bad day? Only four of you have bad days? Wow, what a city. Blessing God drives away the spirits of heaviness. It drives away dark spirits. For blessing God not only opens us up, it lifts us up. Now, you got to understand that there are seasons that change. Now, I want you to look at me and I want you to get this. Blessing God is the key to overcoming in whatever season you're in. Now, let me go over here and see if this side will help me. Now, I want to say it again because of the importance of it. If you understand, this is not a great generalization. Blessing God is the key to overcoming success and victory in every season of life. Now, probably the most famous passages of Scripture on blessing God are from Psalms 102 and Psalms 103, where David writes five times to bless God. Most of us remember the first one, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Then it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, when you study this area five times, it talks about blessing God and David pointing out the power of blessing God in every season. And when you study it, David's meditating. He's old. I'm beginning to understand that. I'm now in the youngest years of my old age. That's at least the way I'm calling it. Now, he's meditating on life, his family, when he writes the most powerful words on blessing. They're like the mountaintops. One preacher called them the Alps of David's teaching. Now, you got to get this because five times he says it, and in those five times he's saying it, rabbis teach that he is corresponding with the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that each of these books in the beginning of the Bible represent a season of life. That the first season of life is the womb, Genesis. Most of us think of Genesis as the birthing season, but that's Exodus, the birthing of the people. When you come out of that, you have Leviticus, and Leviticus is school. Then you have Numbers, adulthood. How many understand adulthood is about numbers? Paying the bills. Paying attention to all the details of life. How many understand when you become adult, you have to pay attention to numbers. And Deuteronomy is about the season of death. I want you to get this because I want to focus on one part of it. And that is the first, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's talking about the womb. While we're yet inside our mother's body, but then we don't forget his benefits because all of a sudden you're born and the real world comes. Now, I want you to stay with me because I got a word that I want you to get. When you're dealing with the womb, it's warm, you're protected, you have room service for food. And then after 9 months, all of a sudden, one morning you wake up and the pushing starts. What is the womb to birthing pushing? Now, as I've been meditating on this, I know many of you have never seen me before, but I've been here before. I've stood on this property and prayed for the blessing of God with Pastor Daniel and asking God. And now to get to be here and to watch this, it's almost like I'm seeing the birth of the pushing. And the Holy Spirit said, no, it's not. What you have right now is the birthing for the pushing that's coming. Now, you may not get this because some of you go, I don't want it to get any bigger. Mm-mm. God did. When I travel the world, people will say, where's the prettiest place you've ever seen a church? And everywhere in the world, I name here. You know, when you stand outside and look around you, now you got to get this, because the Holy Spirit is saying to me, everything that's happened up to this moment is the birthing of what's coming. But every time there's a birthing, there's a pushing. See, we want God to do it all in His sovereignty. God show up, bless us, open up the windows of heaven, pour out so much money we don't know how to deal with it, and God goes, push! Pushing is the most uncomfortable part, probably, of a mother's life. How many know I'm talking about something I have no clue? And yet the reality of it is that's what the Exodus is. Exodus is the birthing of what is to come. Everybody say push. No, you didn't say it like a prophetic word. No, you missed it. Everybody say push. Push. Come on, say it, push. Somebody scream out, push. God is preparing us for something like we've never known before. Because when you push, you're entering resistance. I want you to get this. Exodus, come. There you were. It was warm and sweet. And now you're out and they slap you on the body. Ah! And you know what God says? In this season, don't forget the benefits. Because can I tell you what the real thing is coming? Sin. Sickness. Hell. Lack of favor. Dissatisfaction. Misery. Everything in its power to push you down. But blessing God shatters that. No. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Why? Because He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He lifts you up out of the pit of hell. He crowns you with loving kindness. In your mouth, He satisfies you with good things. And in His presence, your youth is renewed like an eagle. Somebody say amen. No. Stand up. This is the intermission before I finish my message. Put one hand on your heart. Everyone say, He forgives all my sins. Put two hands on your heart. He heals all my diseases. Put your hands on your shoulders and kind of push down and lift up. He lifts me up out of the pit of hell. Now put your hands on top of your head. He crowns me with loving kindness. Put your hands on your mouth. He satisfies my mouth with good things. Now put your arms out. Say, in His presence, my youth is renewed. My youth is renewed like an eagle. Now lift your hands up and bless God all over this, from the front to the back. Come on, open your mouth, child of God. Somebody shout. Somebody praise. Somebody lift you. Somebody bless God in this room. Somebody shout for the victory, that He brings victory in every season of life. Hallelujah. Sit down so I can finish, please. Please remember, in every season of life, the key to overcoming is to bless God. Number three this morning, blessing God is an act of obedience to God. We are not only opened up, we're not only lifted up. All those words that nobody likes. Look at your neighbor and say, grow up. Well, I don't feel like praising. Grow up. I don't like opening my mouth and getting excited. Grow up. You don't have that problem when you're watching sports. The other night I was watching my grandson's. Matter of fact, I went back to back. I went to from flag football, where my son, one grandson was a quarterback, to the next game, which was baseball, and my other grandson was the catcher. And I remembered when he threw the kid out at first base. I stood up and screamed, "That's my grandson!" And everybody around me looked at me. Then when my other one made a touchdown, I went, "That's my grandson!" It didn't bother me. Isn't it time you turn loose of what you think about you and obey what God says? Number four, blessing God is beautiful to God. You ever realized when you open your mouth, you are creating an atmosphere of beauty and the glory of God? Number five, blessing God transforms the worshiper. The more you bless God, the more you begin to look like God. Because God wants you prepared to be able to bless from the cradle to the grave. You may say, "Brother Michael, I'm not sure I fully understand." Let me give you the last words of Moses. The last words of Moses were this, so extraordinary and important were this, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose that both you and your seed may live." See, Deuteronomy is the season of death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I believe in the rapture. I believe Jesus is coming soon. But I know very clearly about the reality of death. Some of you who know us and follow us realize that 4 months ago, my wife had a home going. One of my friends, Philip Cameron, within hours posted on Facebook, "Michael, I know this isn't what you were expecting, but Marcia has left you for another man. She believes he's God, and he is her true first love." You know, as we were there in the hospital, and it was filled with her friends and family, and took her last breath, it wasn't what we were praying for. It wasn't what we expected. All of a sudden, I reached over, I kissed her, and I don't know why, I just began to lift my hands and bless God for 50 years of an extraordinary life. And I thought to myself, as doctors are coming in and nurses, and I thought, boy, everybody's going to think, what in the world is he doing? I opened my eyes, and everyone in the room that was her friend had their hands lifted, worshiping God. Precious are the dying of the saints. As we looked down, and I found myself in prayer and praising and blessing God, I began to think about the factors of death. There are three things you want to consider in your death. The first thing you want to consider in your death, you don't want to live so long nobody attends your funeral. When I read that, I went, "I hope I live so long that there's nobody at my funeral." The second thing that is even more unusual, you want your mind and body to die at the same time. You know, with my mother, my mother was a very active human being, very much alive. And those last few years, her mind was just as clear as when she was 21. But her body began to fail her. 3 days before she died, she and I sat, and she went over every detail of my birth and how I was a royal pain in birth. And yet she left. The third is very simple, but very profound. You don't want to die in shallow water. What that means is if you die in shallow water, you did something wrong. Is it all right if I say it the way Oklahoma people would say it? You did something stupid. The other day I used that word and my granddaughter went, "Mommy said that's a bad word." In Oklahoma we have this phrase, "You can't fix stupid." A dangerous believer understands every season they're in. And they understand in that season, you can do something where you lose your testimony. And the devil will use that to other believers to prove somehow that God's not real. You know, when you stop and consider sin, the wages of sin is... And when you understand the concept that it is appointed unto man wants to die. And the beauty of the fact is being transformed into his image, that even in the last season, when for 11 months she fought so clearly against pancreatic cancer, and it even looked like she was beating it and pneumonia got her. When you stop and consider in each season, you don't want to do something that would destroy your testimony. Now see, in the Old Testament, everything is about your actions. In the New Testament, Jesus doesn't start with the Beactions. He starts with the Beatitudes. See, because he starts with love the Lord your God with all your heart on the inside. Why? Because your thoughts become your attitudes become your words determine your decisions, and your decisions always are revealed in your actions. So this morning, as I stand here speaking to you, I'm not talking to you just about your actions. I'm speaking to everyone in this room with this question: are you right with God? Don't weigh it in relationship with how many people you're sleeping with or how drunk you are, but begin that thought with your thoughts. Many of you here today love God with all your heart, but you're wrestling things going on in your head that you would be embarrassed if other people knew about. Sometimes your attitudes, I find it very curious. I've walked out in a church parking lot, and all of a sudden, from the commotion, I hear someone that a few minutes ago had their hands lifted is now using profanity for the person in front of them. You say, Brother Michael, are you talking to sinners or saints? Let me make it clear, I'm speaking to both. Right now, can you sit here and say, if I am real with God? In a few moments, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask how many people in this room will be honest with me. And I must admit, I'm kind of shocked, because in the first service this morning, how many of you know you have to be more saved to come to the first service? To get out of bed that early, it's just, I'm with you. When I'm home, I never go to first service. If there was a 2 o'clock service, that's my service. Faithful, but what amazed me was, I don't know how many were left in their seats, 90-95% of everybody in the first service responded. When I count to three, do you have the courage to be real with God and lift your hand and say, Michael, there are some things going on in my life right now that are robbing me of blessing God. You can live under the curse or under the blessing. You can live under life or death. The thing is, death is coming, but yet every day you can live in that spirit of death. Or you can bless and change the atmosphere around you. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask how many people in this room will be honest with me. Say, Brother Michael, I'm wrestling some stuff in my life. I'm not asking you if you're saved or lost. If you're lost, you need to lift your hand. If you're backslidden, you need to lift your hand. But I'm asking you today, do you have the courage to be honest with me? Say, Michael, there are things going on in my life I need help with today. This message about blessing God, I'm just trying to keep my head above water and not drowned. But do you have the courage to go, well, if I lift my hand, what will people think? Can I give you another question? What will God think if you don't lift your hand? Is there somebody in this room more important to you than God's opinion? If there is, before you leave, would you go by and say, good morning, God. Do you realize if there's anybody in this room's opinion more important to you than God, to you, they're God. I'm asking how many people in this room will be honest with me and say, Brother Michael, pray for me. I need a touch from God in my heart today. It's not time to ghost the Holy Ghost. It's time to answer the call. When I count to three, every person in this room will be honest with me and say, Michael, you're talking to me today. I want to respond. If you want prayer, lift your hand. One, two, three. Every hand that's lifted, stand up, please. If you have your hand lifted, if you didn't have your hand lifted and you're not standing, and you should stand up. Every person that's standing, leave your seat and come to the front right now, please. Keep coming in so there's room enough for everyone. For those of you up front, I need you to move in closer. The line's all the way to the back. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Would you put your hand on your heart? The anointing of God is all over this house. You can sense that this day has a sense of destiny upon it, the power of the Holy Spirit. In a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to soak to bless, to soak in the presence of God. There's some things that have held you so long in its grasp that have kept you from the victory God intends. God today sees that you're planting an uncommon seed for an uncommon harvest, and you are that uncommon seed. Can I tell you? Hell believes in you more than your mother believes in you. Hell sees in you the power to bless, and that everywhere you go, I need to pay attention, don't I? Almost walked off there. Hell sees in you the potential to create life, to create blessing. Everyone pray out loud, Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Cleanse me, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then I shall teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted. Forgive me. I should have done this sooner. From this day forward, I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to hell. I don't belong to myself. I belong to the Son of the living God who died on the cross for my sins. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands and worship him? Come on, soak. As you soak in the presence of God, soak in the presence of God. Come on, lift your voice, open your mouth, use your words, express your love, express your faith, express your hope. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. In the name of Jesus. Come on, worship him. Soak in the presence of God. Soak in the glory of God. We praise you, Jesus. You are worthy, mighty God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift him up. Fill this atmosphere with praise. Come on, everyone in this room, you're soaking in the praise of God. You're soaking in the anointing of God. Don't fight the tears. Let them flow down your face. Love is overwhelming you by the power of God's grace. Jesus, I praise you. Oh, Jesus. Would you look at me a moment, please? Now, there are three types of people standing here. Many of you are standing here. You love God, and had you died on your way to church, you'd have been in heaven 10 minutes before the devil knew you were gone. And he might have thrown a party that you were gone. But then there are some of you standing here. You have this perpetual insecurity about salvation. You want to be saved. You want to go to heaven, but you're not sure. I meet people everywhere who wrestle with it. Then there's the third category. Had you died on your way to church, you would have been in hell. Because what you did last night, what you did this week, you live a life that's not right with God. And wouldn't it be a pity if you left here today and weren't honest about it? See, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I'll be ashamed to confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And whenever I give altar calls like this, matter of fact, recently I had a pastor who came to me and he said, if I had you come preach, what's the one thing that's going to happen? And I said, repentance. I don't know. He must not like the answer because I didn't get the invitation. Somewhere repentance has become a word that's no longer associated with the church. And all of us have to constantly be willing whenever we mix up or mess up, Lord, forgive me. But in a moment, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask every person that has constant or insecurity about your salvation. You're not sure. And I believe there are several of you here that that's true of. And then some of you, you're lost. There may be some, this is the first time you've ever prayed a sinner's prayer. And I want to deal with those two. If you're not sure of your salvation, if you're lost and you're getting right with God today, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand. You say, Brother Michael, everybody will see me. Yes, including God. You'll go, wow, look at that. They finally got over their fear. I'm going to count to three, and if you're not sure of your salvation or you're lost, I want you to lift your hand. One, two, three. Lift your hand up. Come on, keep it lifted up. Oh, wow. Do you mind if I count? The first service, there were nearly 20. Okay, keep your hand up. I want to see it. Let me go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap for 40. Wow! Woo! Now, I must admit, I'm getting ready to ask to release a shout. Put your hand, right hand on your heart. Everyone say, he forgives all my sins. You might want to do this in front of the mirror tomorrow morning. just to remind yourself of the benefits of blessing God that make you a dangerous believer. He forgives all my sins, say it. Put two hands on your heart. He heals all my diseases. Put your hands on your shoulders. Now I want you to dip as you do this. He lifts me up out of the pit of hell. Put your hands on top of your head. He crowns me with loving kindness. Put your hands on your mouth and go, He satisfies my mouth with good things. Now, when we finish this one, I want to let out a shout of praise. Oh, did I tell you, you don't want to miss tonight. Tonight, we'll turn to somebody and say, the good-looking people come on Sunday night. Make sure you're here. Come on, get your arms out. Get your arms out. In His presence. 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 He renews my youth as an eagle. Come on, fly. Now lift him up and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give him a clap offering. Shout unto God. Shout unto God. He's worthy of our praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.